the Lord wants us to understand that he has an answer to the question, what do I do now? What do I do now? I don't expect a whole lot of amens, but I suspect that for those of us on this call and for people around the world today, not just in Illinois and Schaumburg, but around the world today, there are people asking the question, what do I do now? Some are asking the question because they're currently unemployed. Some are asking the question because they have lost a loved one. Some are asking the question because someone received a diagnosis. Somebody's asking the question because they've been involved in a confrontation that's based on the fear of what's going around. Somebody's being asking the question because they just don't know. Somebody's afraid to leave the house. Somebody's afraid to go to the store. Somebody's afraid to embrace somebody. Somebody's afraid to speak to somebody. I'm amazed at how many people are running around with masks, but they won't speak to anybody. But yet I'm not amazed because on yesterday, more and more people took off their masks that used to wear their masks. But people are asking the question, what do I do now? Now, I'm just going to surrender to you. I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to submit to you. We as Christians should have the answer to that question. Well, how can you say, Pastor, you know, I've never been in this situation. It don't matter what situation you've been in or what situation you will be in. Our answer to the question, what do I do now, is to do what God says.
Amen.
We ask God, we pray to God, we fast before God, we talk to God, we listen to God, and we do what he says. It doesn't change who we are. It should not change how we operate if we're doing what God wants us to do.
Amen.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He says, what? I would not have you be afraid, brother. He said, what? But I will send you what? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, which what? Lead, guide, teach you all things. That's what Jesus told us when people wanted to know, what do I do now, when he left. But that was last week, right? When we celebrated the Holy Week. That was last week, what? When Jesus said, I'm going to prepare places. That was what we remember from last week. But it don't change every day of our lives. What do I do now? So God says, I just want to remind you, when my people were in this place before, when my people had turned away from me, when my people were doing their own thing. See, there are many out there today. There's a great debate among theologians and among believers of why is this thing happening today? We've never seen this kind of fear. We've never seen this kind of pandemic. We have never in our lifetime seen the world shut down like we see it today. We have been prosperous. We have been wealthy. We've been healthy. We've been proud. We've been full of ourselves. We've been doing what we want to do. God says when there's a time, when there comes a time that I need to return my people unto me. So what do I do now? Well, it's pretty easy. It's not new news. I suspect that you're going to know most of this, but let's look at what we need to do. First thing we need to do is just understand there's only three things we need to do. We need to watch, we need to fight, and we need to pray. We need to watch, fight, and pray. They used to sing a song. So they sing a song. So what? I'm going to watch, fight, and pray. I'm going to watch, fight, and pray. What? Until he comes. I'm going to watch, fight, and pray. That's all I'm supposed to do. We're supposed to watch, we're supposed to fight, and we're supposed to pray. We talked earlier, when we were talking just before Sunday school, we were talking about how we were watching. what were we were watching how God is still in control, how the birds are still chirping, how the rabbits are still running, how the sunshine is still the sunshine and the snow is still the snow, and how beautiful it is when we see it. That's not change. What? To behold the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
We were watching. We watch what? Somebody's watching TV. Somebody's watching videos. Somebody's watching how other people are acting. And I don't know about you, but all eyes have been on the news. I pray since last week you have tuned in one less time than you did before.
Yeah.
Pray that in this coming week you will tune in a few less times on the news than you did before. For the news isn't going to tell you anything different. The news is going to tell you more and more about the same old thing. Some more people got it. Some more people died. Some more supplies came. Some more supplies didn't come. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. And all of that ain't doing nothing for nobody. But in the body of Christ, we're supposed to watch, fight, and pray. What are we watching for? What are we supposed to watch for? I'm glad you asked. What are we supposed to watch for? We're going to watch, first of all, we're supposed to watch to see for the attempts to distract us. We need to understand that the enemy wants to distract us. God did not have us to be ignorant. He shows us. He said, I will show you a way out, what, over anything that the enemy can tempt you for. We need to watch where the temptations are coming from. They're coming, y'all. I don't care what you say. They're coming. How do we know they're coming? Well, all we got to do is look at this book of Isaiah. I know you can't read it right now, but if you go, when you get ready, go back and read Isaiah 28 through chapter 30. You're going to see that before this passage we're in verse 31, that Isaiah had given the children of Israel six different woes because of the condition they were living in. He said, wait a minute, I need to warn you. In chapter 28, he said, woe unto you. He said, woe unto you in chapter 28 and 1. Woe to the crown of pride, what, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that what, are overcome with wine. He said, wait a minute, first off, I'm going to tell you, woe against drinking. Not that having a drink is a problem, but you're getting drunk. Drunk with the excess. I don't know if you know anybody. Somebody's been drinking too much since they've been locked at home. Trying to get over the fear of what's going on. He says, woe. Go to chapter 29. He says another woe. He says, wait a minute, look at this. Woe to Ariel. To Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Add ye year to year. Let them kill. When I distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow. It shall be what? Upon Ariel. He said, when you come to say, woe against Ariel. One of the loves of the world. One of those things that are brought to speak out against God. He goes on, he said, a third woe. You go down to verse 29, chapter 29 and verse 15. He said, what? Woe unto them, what? That seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their words are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? They woe against them for what? Trying to let it be known, not let it be known that you love the Lord. Well, they don't want to hear about God. They don't want to know that I love God. So woe is there. Woe unto you for not being who you are. Woe on you today that you don't want to stand up and say, I'm a child of God. Woe unto us today that we'll let anything go and not tell people about God. Woe unto us for not saying, hey, my relative, hey, my brother, I love you, but this thing that you're doing is not of God. And I'm not just talking about our men. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Isaiah said, whoa. He said, wait a minute. He said, there's too much of this thing that's going on. He said, surely, in verse 16, surely you're turning things upside down, shall be esteemed as the potter's clay, but shall the work say of him that made it? He made me not. Woe unto a world that's accepted everything. God ain't pleased. God had to get our attention. God don't want gender-neutral bathrooms. God don't want you to say he made you incorrect. That is not of God, and we need to tell people that. But instead, we hide. I'm going to be silent. God had the woes of the Bible in Isaiah because people, his people who he saved, his people who he delivered, his people who he empowered, his people who he had entrusted to share the word had turned away from him. Today, we are being challenged because too many have turned away from him. Whoa, he continues to say whoa in Isaiah 30:1. And in Isaiah 30:1, he says, woe with what? To the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with the covering, but not of my spirit, that they what? May add sin to sin. Woe against taking your liberties into things of the world, your bank account, your job, your house, your relationship, your intelligence, your knowledge. Woe to you thinking it's about you when it's really about God. And you don't even want to seek God. Now, I ain't talking about you all individually. I'm talking about the world. I don't know where you stand. You know where you stand. Woe to me when I decide I can do this by myself.
Amen.
And when we find ourselves in this place and in that position with God, there's some things that we've got to do. But the first thing is to acknowledge your woe. I just got to come to tell you, I'm thankful to God. If I go back 12 months ago, I just had a one-year anniversary. 12 months ago, I told you I did not want to work this job that I'm working. I told everybody I didn't like it. I didn't like wasting my time. And I had some woe in me, some disagreement in me, and some anxiety in me. But I come to tell you, thanks be to God through repentance. God is blessing me to do what I'm supposed to do because he's sending me to places to bless somebody. So when I got outside of myself and not God do his thing, now I'm at peace with what I do.
Amen.
And can I tell you, I couldn't go in the houses and places and be at peace with this pandemic going on if it wasn't for Jesus.
Right.
I wouldn't go and see strangers if it wasn't for Jesus. I wouldn't go and understand that this is what God say if it wasn't for Jesus. So God has to continue to speak to us. He said, woe. There's another woe in verse, right in the beginning of this verse. He said, woe to them, 31:1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Who are you going to for help today? The doctor has knowledge. The bank has money. Our friends got a little extra money so they can share some with you. The food pantry got some food, so I'll go. But it said, what? Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are what? Very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither the sick. Woe unto people who think I'm the one who's in charge. I can do this and nobody else can make me do anything. Woe to America if you think you're the greatest thing in the world. God is greater than you will ever be. Woe to you if you are president or CEO or you're the banker and you want to abuse people. Woe to us if we're lying about our situation and we don't want to come clean because guess what? Yes, I mean, woe to us if we won't go to God in prayer first. Isaiah said there's some woes that got to go. But it ain't just in Isaiah. If you go over to Matthew and you go to Matthew 15, Jesus said it. Jesus said it also in Matthew 15. What did he say in 15 verses 7 through 9? He said, look. He said, ye hypocrites. Well did Isaiah say, prophecy of you saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Woe to us if we come to worship and we worship out of ceremonial celebration. Woe to us if we come to worship and it's got to be a certain thing. And it's not genuine worship, denying ourselves. Woe to us if we come to worship before God and we have not surrendered ourselves. Woe to us if we come for the side show, if we come for the praise show, if we come for the theatrical show by the pastor, woe to us if we don't come to worship God in spirit and truth and to genuinely surrender ourselves. Woe to us if we come for the wrong reason. Woe if we come because it's the right thing to do. Churches are growing more and more and more. I'm just amazed. Can I tell you the truth? We get more people on this thing, on Zoom, than we get to walk through the door. I wonder why that is. Convenience has its benefits, but God has a greater benefit.
Amen.
But I'd rather take the high road. I really believe I take the high road. I believe we got more people on this Zoom and conference call because somebody told somebody. That's what I believe, and that's what my heart is going to state. That we just decided to tell somebody because in times like this, we know that we need to have people seek Jesus.
Amen.
Now, that's my story, and I'm going to stick to it. That's my story. You just told somebody.
Amen.
So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we've told somebody. So what are we watching? We're watching how the enemy is trying to distract us. Mm-hmm. Oh, y'all know the story. The mics didn't work at the church, but now there's interference in the line. But can you hear how clear it's been?
Right.
Yes.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. Jesus worked it out. So we first got to watch for the tips to distract us. The second thing we got to watch for is the signs of disobedience. Some of us, in here in, this, in our verse, in verses 1 through 3 here in 31, he says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. They look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his words, will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work in evil. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. Uh-oh. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. We what? Follow the spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fail together. If you trust in your job, if you trust in your knowledge, if you trust in what you think you got going, at some point it's going to fail. The world has gotten so big and so wonderful in this global economy that they all have fallen together because they can't figure it out. Now, before we say the world knows what they're doing, I want to tell you something. They're saying it's a year to a year and a half before we have a solution for the COVID-19 virus. And until then, we need to be safe. But I declare to you today, that's what the world says. That's not what God said.
Amen.
So
amen.
Don't lock yourself up just because they say so. Ask God what you're supposed to do and do what he tells you to do.
Amen.
Social distancing? Amen. I believe in social distancing. Wearing a mask? I believe in wearing a mask. But I believe greater than when God said, get in your car or walk down the street or do this or do that. I do that which the Lord says and watch what God will do.
Amen.
So we got to be careful to watch for the signs of disobedience. You don't have to stop there. If you look at the book of Psalms and you look at Psalms in the 30th chapter and Psalms, verse 30th chapter and Psalm 6 and verse number 6, look at what God is saying to us. He says, look, and in my prosperity, I said I shall never be moved. In my prosperity. That's not God talking now. That's us talking. Mm-hmm. David was talking. In my prosperity, I said, I shall not be moved. David said, I'll extol thee, but David was dependent on himself. That's disobedient to God. I don't care what you know. I don't care how big of your plans are. I don't care what you do. He said, what? You won't be moved. You can't depend on you alone. We have to depend on the Lord. That's why he told them, go and wait, what? for the Spirit to come. Mm-hmm. And it will anoint you and empower you that you will be able to do what? All things, what? Through Christ, which strengthens you. That's why Paul said that. He didn't say, I can do all things based on what I knew.
Right.
Paul knew his knowledge was nothing. He studied at the greatest university. He studied under the greatest teacher. He thought he was all that in a bag of chips. When he met Jesus, he said, all that is nothing. All of that was nothing. He depended on the Spirit to tell him what to do. And that's what, so we watch what? For the attempts of the enemy to distract us, we watch what? For the signs of disobedience. Now somebody say, well, why do I want to look for disobedience? You know why? Because when we've been disobedient, that means what? We have sinned before God. Mm-hmm. And when we have sinned before God, what do we need to do? We need to repent. We need to do what it says here in this passage, verse 6 and 7. Turn ye what? Unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. He said, look, the children of Israel turned away from their God. He said, that's the problem. That's their problem. He said, I'm telling you to turn back to who they turned away from, to go back to the beginning, go back to the creator, go back to the Alpha and the Omega, go back to the head. It's the same thing that he told them before. So if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and what? Turn from their wicked ways, then they will hear from heaven. So we got to go back to God so we can hear from heaven.
Amen.
I want to be in the building and worship. But can I tell you the truth? When we go back to the building and worship, it ought to be different. There ought to be a renewed spirit. We were worshiping God in spirit and truth, and that's a wonderful thing, but there ought to be it ought to be hyped up even more, because we're going to be so thankful that God has brought us through that we're going to shout hallelujah just to see the building. We're going to shout hallelujah, glory to God, to walk in the doors. We're going to shout hallelujah, glory that we can come together. Oh, I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to hear you, but I want to put my arms around you and just know that the Lord, that I love you and God loves you, that we can commune together.
Amen.
Somebody in the world said absence makes the heart grow fonder. Well, I believe that when we're absent from God, our hearts need to grow fonder to be with God.
Amen.
That's why I say seek ye first the mm-hmm. kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. So what do we do now? We watch. We watch for the distractions. Well, I don't know where they're coming from. You don't have to know. God will show you. Didn't God show Esther through Mordecai in our lesson this morning? Oh. Esther had no idea. She didn't want no part of it. Mordecai said, look, you got to talk to him. You got to go to the king. Lest you go to the king, we will all be destroyed. And when she went to the king, Haman, the king's right-hand man, was trying to do evil. He was exposed. And then after the exposure, what? God elevated those who trusted in him. He elevated Mordecai to number two in the land. Do you not know? We have to expose the devil. We have to expose the lies. We don't trust in the doctor. We trust in Jesus. We don't trust in our bank account. We trust in Jesus. We don't trust in what this person say they will do or won't do. We trust in Jesus. He promised that he will feed us. He promised that he will shelter us. He promised us he will do all the things that he will do. And can I tell you to do that? The promises of God are yea and yea. And if you just be still and watch and look for what God is telling you to do, he will be available and make it happen.
All right.
Yeah. So we're watching. The third thing we watch for is what? The promises of God. Mm-hmm. the promises of God. Go to Isaiah 33, and you look at Isaiah 33, he gives the woe, said, woe to thee that spoilest, and thou what? Was not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, they dealt not treacherously with thee, when thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. But then he said in verse 2, O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou thy what? Arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. He said, but wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. He's talking about the enemies of God. When God shows up and we look for God, the promises of God will defend us. The promises of God will heal us. The promises of God will be our provisions. The promises of God, just like manna came from heaven, there'll be manna in our closets. There'll be manna in our refrigerators. There'll be manna in our cupboards. There'll be manna all over our houses that we won't want for nothing to eat.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what? The promise of God. Chapter 35 says it in verses 1 and 2. He said, look, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. See, today, 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 we ought to see this happening in our life. We ought to see this time as a fresh awakening, a fresh renewal, that we could go to the Lord when we didn't have time before. We could sing a song when we didn't have time before. We can pray a little more when we didn't have time before. And I don't care if you're working from home and you still got to work, but if you're working from home and you ain't got to commute, you gain some extra time. The question is, what do we do with our time?
Right.
Say, go before the Lord. Go before the Lord and watch what God will do. You don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe me. Let me pause here for a moment. What did Nehemiah say? What did Nehemiah say in the midst of the enemy? What did Nehemiah tell them to do in the midst of the work they had to do? What did Nehemiah say? Say, look, we're not going to stop doing the work. I can't go outdoors. We can't leave this place. We got to be in this building there. We're rebuilding the temple. He said, that's all right. You're going to stand by this door. That's all right. You're going to stand by that door. Oh, by the way, guess what? While you working up here, no people got your back with their swords over here. No, by the way, some of y'all can work with one hand and got a sword in the other hand. Say, I don't care. So guess what? I'm not worried about corona. I'm not worried about health. I'm not worried about finances. Why? Because while we doing the work of the Lord, God is got provisions on one side. While we doing the work of the Lord, God's got blessings on the other side. While we doing the work of the Lord, God say, be still and know that I am God.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
So there's a time to fight. There's a time to be still. There's a time to pray. There's a time to watch. There's a time to do all that God has for us to do. And today, we need to watch.
Right.
So God can provide for you that inner peace. God can provide for you. He can take away the clutter out of our ears and out of our mind. God can feed, and internally he feeds the spirit, because the spirit is what speaks to us, that tells us what to do and when to do it. Yeah. Oh, you don't have to believe me. Look at the word. Psalm 65 and 4 says, blessed is the man whom thou what? Chooses and what? Causes to what? Approach unto thee, that he may dwell in the courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of what? The holy temple. Blessed, God chose you so you can choose to love God. When you choose to love God, he allows you to come into the inner court. In the old days before Jesus, we had to stay in the outer courts. But today, because we're heirs and joint heirs, we walk into the inner court where we commune with God. I don't need the priest. You don't need me. You can go to God for yourself. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, throw up your hands. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus. I might not speak to anybody. And thank you, Sister Bennett, for being on. But if you don't talk to nobody live in a voice, guess what? You can still talk to God. And God is still talking to you. And he's still walking with you and still caring for you. That's what our God does.
Every day.
All by ourselves. God is still there.
Amen.
And Why will God still be there? I don't get this. Somebody's still bewildered by this. Somebody we run into every day say, I don't get this God that y'all talk about. Somebody still go, how come this Jesus is so wonderful? I don't quite get it. Well, let me tell you, just last week, we talked about it, right? But in Galatians, he told the church, said, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This stuff is evil. This pandemic is evil. But guess what? I'm not of this world. You're not of this world. God has delivered us from this world. When he went to Calvary and he died on the cross, that was the beginning. When he was in that grave, it was still going in the process. But when he got up, deliverance and victory was ours.
Amen.
Come on, Corona. You want to fight? Bring it on. I'm going to watch, I'm going to fight, and I'm going to pray. You know why? Because you ain't got the last word. If my time is to leave today, so let me leave. I'm going on the glory for my celebration. And if it's not to go today, maybe another day or 20 years from now, I'll wait. But until then, I'm going to watch, I'm going to fight, and I'm going to pray.
Amen.
But so that we don't get caught, we need to understand that there needs to be some things that we restore. One of the biggest challenges we have today is that once we're saved, we think everything is all right. And that is true in the big sense. It does not relieve us from doing some things that we need to do. And one of those things is to pray a prayer of repentance when we've done wrong in the sight of God. Oh, I had a bad day, I cursed somebody out. You need to repent. You need to say, Lord, I'm sorry.
Amen.
And turn away from it. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, I ain't got nothing to do with them. I got all mine together. I ain't worried about nobody else. We need to repent and turn away from it. Because when we have sinned, until we confess our sins before God, it hinders some of the blessings that God's got for us. And what? It disconnects us from the power. Does not disconnect us from our salvation, but it disconnects us from the power we should walk in. Oh, what do we do now? What do we do now? First thing, get rid of your doubt. What do we do? Second thing, get rid of your fear. What do we do? What do we do now? Third thing, get rid of your pride. Wait a minute. Okay, fear, doubt, pride. I don't have a thing. I know Jesus. No, that ain't true. You can just like the children of Israel, they kept walking away from God. That was their pride. They kept walking away from God. That was their fear. They looked at armies that were bigger than them and said, we better go and get along with them, because if not, they will destroy us. And somebody that we're going to encounter today thinks that Corona's going to destroy them. They think that what? There is no hope for them at all. But it's only a cry away. All we got to do is say, fix me, Jesus. All we got to do is say, Lord, it's in your hand. You don't think I know what I'm talking about. But let me tell you, just this week, the enemy made an attack. Just this week, doubt tried to get me. Fear tried to get me. Pride tried to get me. Okay, God, I got this. No, I ain't got nothing. But let me tell you, because every day I say, Lord, whatever's not right in me, I want you to fix it. Whatever's not pleasing to me, I want you to correct it. I want you to take it out, cut it, whatever you got to do. Because I say to the Lord every single day, make me who you want me to be. When I need, God provides.
Amen.
Oh, let me make it plain for you. I left here on Thursday. I got some bad news on Thursday. I shared it with Sister Rogers. It was not good news. It was bad news. But I come to tell you, I had to leave and get in the car to go to an appointment. Before I could get my car started and back out my driveway, the song came on the radio, Fight On. He said, I don't care about the news. He said, Fight On. Then the next song came on, said, Everything gonna be all right. I'm like, only God can do that. I don't have a pre-recorded playlist. I just turn it on.
Amen.
Because when I'm in my car, God speaks to me. I talk to God. He sends me. He just said, fight on.
Amen.
I said, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
And then on yesterday, on Friday, I went to a house and the devil thought, okay, that did work, but now I got you. I sent you to a house, and when I walked in the house, there was a black cat. And y'all don't know if you heard my story, the black cat takes me back to my childhood, where when I walked in a house, the cat, black cat, back raised up as high as the table because he saw light in me and did, and there was the black cat. They say, well, he all right. He just wanted to get out. No, the black cat started sniffing around my backpack. The black cat came sniffing around my ankles and wanted to jump in my lap. And I said, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you the light. So this cat's got to go. Can I tell you the rest of the story? The cat thought, well, I got it going on now. He jumped on the table and looked me in my eye. I said, in the name of Jesus, you got to go. And let me tell you, for the next half hour and a half, the cat went in the other room and never came back. But it was in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, that ain't your spiritual battle, but that's my spiritual battle. But in the name of Jesus, I don't care where it came from. It couldn't distract me because God sent me to be a blessing.
Right.
So I blessed the people I was with.
Glory to God.
With the word of God. And watch God give the victory.
Yeah.
I said, look at God. And that's what he has for all of us. So what do I do now? I watch. And you know, I don't even have to watch. I don't even have to open my eyes. You don't have to open your eyes. Because guess who sees everything that's coming your way?
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit sees it all. The Holy Spirit knows it all. We just trust in Jesus. So to this week, watch less of the numbers and see more of the opportunity to pray. Watch less of the statistics. Watch less of the doom and the gloom and see the victories.
Amen.
And see, I'll tell you, there are more victories than deaths.
Yes.
More healings than deaths. But the world says, I want you to doubt what's going on. But when we do that, I just want your battle cry. I just want us to go into a battle cry with God. I want us to go the way the old church used to do sometimes. We used to just stop and just say, fix me, Jesus. Just fix me, Jesus. Fix me, Jesus. Just fix me, Jesus. We give worship to God and we praise our hands for God and watch God fix it. Just fix me, Jesus. When you fix me, everything's going to be all right. So I don't know what you want to do. I just want us to take a minute for a minute. We're going to say, fix me, Jesus. I'm going to play the song and the words. Just fix me, Jesus. Fix me. There are a whole lot of versions, but this one's going to be a blessing to us. So fix me, Jesus. Just fix me, Jesus. Fix me, Jesus. Fix me, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, just fix me. And if you see in videos, there are those with drug addiction. They need to be fixed. There are those with no job. They need to be fixed. There are those with alcohol addiction. They need to be fixed. And sexually, there are those caught up in pride. They need to be fixed. And the only fixing is the word of God. Oh, Lord. Fix me, Jesus. Fix me, Jesus. Oh Lord, fix your people, Jesus. Bring us back to you, Lord God. Take away our pride, Lord God. Take away our selfishness, Lord God.
Fix me, Jesus. Fix me.
When I fall, Lord God, pick me up. Fix me, Lord. For your heavenly home, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
Fix me, Jesus. Fix me.
Fix us, Jesus.
Fix me for
your will and your work, Lord God. Fix us, Lord God. Lost there when I tried to do right, that evil was pressing on every hand. But Lord, you will fix it and you will make everything all right.
Fix me for my story.
Oh, Lord Jesus, fix us, Jesus.
Fix us, Jesus.
Let us be bold in your word, Lord God. Let us stand, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. We're going to watch, Lord God, as you do what only you can do, Father God.
Fix me, Jesus, fix me. Oh, fix me.
They're never alone, Lord God. Fix us,
fix
Jesus.
Me,
fix us, Jesus.
Jesus.
Fix us, Jesus.
Fix
thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
Fix me, Jesus. Fix me.
Deliver us, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Jesus will fix it. I don't want you to doubt it. I don't want you to ever have to second guess it. Jesus has already fixed it, but he'll fix it every single day. We just need to declare the word of the Lord. He'll fix it on your drive. He'll fix it on your walk. He'll fix it when you're in your home. He'll fix it when others say you're broken. He'll fix what the world has already adopted, and he'll change it back to him. Though we've gone astray, he will bring us back. That's why he declared that the world needs to love the God of the Israelites, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that came down through 42 generations. The world needs to know that it's the God that even though, and let me tell you how Jesus was fixing, because even when they were trying to do wrong, even when they didn't want the word to go forth, even when the enemy had to go out and create deception. We heard it with Esther, but I come to tell you, there was another lady. She was a great dancer, and she was attracted to all men. And King Herodias said, if you dance for me, whatever you do, I'll give you whatever you want. And that's all right. She said, I'm going to do it because mama told me to dance. She danced before the king, and the king said, oh, that was wonderful. That was beautiful. That was great. What do you want? Say, give me the head of John the Baptist on the platter so I can take it to my mama. You might be a John the Baptist or Jane the Baptist or whatever your name is, and somebody gonna try to get you and your head on a platter, but that's all right. Let them have your head. But when you speak for Jesus, guess what? The rest ain't gonna matter because God has already fixed it. They can cut off your head, but that ain't your spirit. They can take your tongue out, but that ain't your spirit, because your spirit and my spirit, it lives forever. So somebody knows that Jesus already, he already fixed it. Jesus has already fixed Corona. Jesus has already fixed the finances. Jesus yes. has already fixed relationships. Jesus has already cast out doubt. Jesus has already cast out fear. Jesus has conquered your measly pride. Jesus took away my pride. Jesus has already fixed it.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
So what do we got to do? What do I do now? What do I do now? I watch. I just watch. I fight. And I pray. We're going to be done with watching today. Next week, we're going to deal how to fight and how to pray. Sister Susie's there. We pray in the spirit. Everything's going to be all right. When you say, Father yes. God, in the name of Jesus, and let him talk for you, and let him talk through you, everything's going to be all right. You ain't got to figure it out. We're just like newborn babies. We grow up in Jesus. We want to learn how to say mama and daddy. All we need to say is father. Then we don't even have to say father. We can just say Jesus. And if we say Jesus, everything else will be all right. So watch. Watch how Jesus is going to fix it. He's got a testimony for you, and for me, how Jesus will fix it, how we'll tell people that I don't care if you're in a hospital. The other day, my cousin called. She's a hospital. She's a first first responder. She's a nurse in the hospital, and she's been dealing with all of this and telling people how to put masks on and how to wear them and all these kind of things. The other day, she said, look, don't y'all worry, family. She said, don't you worry, family. She said, I got the corona, but that's all right. I feel pretty good, but whether I feel all right, she said, Jesus got me, and said, that's enough for me.
Amen.
So it's all going to be okay.
Amen.
And we just wondered what I do now. We watch. Watch for the attempts. Watch for the deceptions. Don't give in to what we see in our world today. It ain't a political party in what they do. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you, Lord, again for your grace and your mercy, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you give us instruction. So what do we do, Lord? We continue to worship and praise you. What do we do now, Lord? We continue to watch as you do what you do. What do we do, Lord? We watch for the signs when you tell us what to do and what to say. What do we do now? We be concerned about everybody, Lord God. What do? We pray, Lord. We continue to fight. So thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that somebody, Father God, is going to give their life to you. Somebody, Father God, is going to be encouraged. Somebody, Father God, is going to move from milk to dine on your word. Somebody, Father God, is moving on up the chain and maturing in your word, Lord God, so that they can be a blessing to somebody else. Somebody, Father God, just committed to trust you even more. So, Lord, move in our homes and in our many destinations and continue to show forth who you are. Over and over, Lord God, you bring us back to you. This is our prayer. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.